morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to just be back and be connecting and sharing in time in God's Word. The Lord has been so good. I know that there's so many things that are going on. Many people in the hospital, their struggles, challenges, but I want you to be encouraged that God is faithful. We're going to get into a portion of Scripture today, and we're going to talk about what's important. And back, kind of see so many things rise up, and you got this big table of everything's important. So which one should I choose? Which is the top of the list? Today we're going to talk about that, and I pray that you're going to be encouraged. Thank you so much for staying connected to ebcnc.com, for just using the tools that God has allowed us to, as a church, to have on a website. He's allowed us to have an app that we can download and we can connect. And I just thank you for your support with that. Whether it's our Monday Bible studies or special events, Tuesdays or Wednesdays, or our 10 o'clock online. Thank you so much. We have so much on our website, and I encourage you to do that. Thank you for your giving. And God loves a cheerful giver. We've learned that over these many years of being together, that it's about giving from our heart and not feeling pressured or stressed, but we just know God has been good, and He's been a wonderful provider, even in the toughest of times. So thank you for that, whether you're using our app or you're giving in our in-person services or sending into our secure mailbox. Thank you for all you do. And I encourage you to continue to reach out to others, to love on others, small group studies, using the tools that God has allowed us to have, that we can grow more and more in Him. Well, I want you to stay in prayer. I want you to prepare your heart. And really, let's get ready, because we're going to find out what's truly important in our lives. We'll see you soon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a wonderful weekend, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Amen. Our scripture is from Psalm 119 today, beginning at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies and who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteousness and judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I have read Psalm 119, verses 1 through 14, and be blessed in the Lord today.
Amen. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reigned on the throne. For you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song.
Yes, Lord, I love you, Lord.
I just want to say that I love you more
yes,
than anything.
Yes, Lord.
Hold me in your arms.
Yes,
you are my shelter from the storm. When all my friends were gone, you were right there all along. I've never known a love like this before. Oh, I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Hold me in your arms. You are my shelter from the storm. When all my friends were gone, you were right there all along. I've never known a love like this before. Oh, I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Hallelujah.
It is so good to know Jesus. Aren't you glad that he is in our lives, he has saved us, and he is doing exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. As we've been in this series of distractions and fears, I pray that you have been encouraged, that you have been encouraged also to look at your life and just see all the distractions and even fears that are in our lives from day in and day out. But you know what? God is good. We've just got to trust him. I pray that you've got that memory scripture deep down in your heart, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Last Sunday, I was like, a sound mind, because there are going to be some things that come at you that sometimes you're going to feel like you're losing your mind, but we can rest in the Lord. Well, before we get into today's lesson, I just want to go in a word of prayer, and I ask you to focus in. And often I'm praying for us, and so I want you to be a part of that prayer as you're praying for us too, as we seek God's face. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for this day that you've made. Thank you for even this platform that you have given us, Lord, that we can connect one with another in a virtual way, Father. But yet, we thank you that your anointing can seep to any place, Lord. You're not inhibited, Father God, by wires or internet or anything else. Lord, you can touch our hearts, Lord, and I thank you for that. So, Lord, I just pray for those who are looking in and listening in today, those who may not be saved. I pray today be their day that they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, we just thank you for your grace and mercy. I lift up all your saints that they may be encouraged today. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You're the teacher. So would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's lesson section of scripture that we're getting into is Luke chapter 10 and the 42nd verse. Luke chapter 10 and 42. Listen to this. He says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. That Luke 10:42 again, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. I just want to speak from a title today, Protecting Our Priorities. Protecting Our Priorities. This is a critical junction within all our lives as we're in a transitional season. And when I say that, we've got COVID-19, we're getting older, people are being born, we're transitioning in our jobs, we're transitioning in family and family relationships. So all of us, whether we like it or not, are on the move just by the force of nature and God allowing time to infect and affect us all. From last Sunday, we are kind of chronologically making a step. We were in Luke 9:47, and Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him, and we talked about heart trouble. Last Sunday's message is very important to today's because we're kind of building blocks. So I want to go through some points in review that we dealt with on last Sunday. We talked about pride. Yes, as we're in this transitional period, of pride can come up. Jesus knows your heart. Humility, distracted by position, and who is on the Lord's side. I left you with that on last Sunday, really as a confirmation that we all have to make. Are we going to be on the Lord's side? We're talking about protecting our priorities. The time frame today is 33 AD. So much has gone on up to this point. Jesus has been in his full-blown ministry. He's been healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. He's taught disciples about his imminent death, literally. It is very close. He is taught and given them understanding of the parables that he's put forth. And so now he goes into some monumental things as he begins to deal with our priorities, our choices. On today's lesson, we actually pick up two ladies, Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. Now, this is interesting because this is a favorite story that's lifted up in the Bible, but you only find these ladies really in this section and in John chapter 11 and John chapter 12. We find this family here. Now, today's lesson, as we look at this, this Luke portion is really the only section of this that we're going to deal with. It is not recorded in all the Gospels except for Luke. So I find that very interesting that Dr. Luke will pull this out. We all know from the background, or if you don't know, Mary and Martha are good friends of Jesus. And we're going to see this relationship built within the scriptures that we're dealing with today. Let's jump in. Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So now we get the building point of the relationship. Again, Luke chapter 10, this 38th verse, this section that we're going to deal with, this is the only portion that we actually see within the Gospels that Luke actually builds on the relationship. Remember John 11 and John 12, we deal with them growing in Christ, and we get to see that miraculous miracle in the 11th chapter of Jesus raising Lazarus from dead, that the brother of Mary and Martha. Our first point in here, as Martha and Mary actually welcome Jesus into their house and the other guests, is the servant's heart. The servant's heart. Now, in Luke, we find out that they are coming into the house. They're showing hospitality. We find out that in John chapter 12, the area is actually the village of Bethany. The village of Bethany, that's where Jesus is going in. Bethany is about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And as he's here, I want you always to remember, nothing's by happenstance. It just doesn't happen. God already knows what's going to happen. So every time that Jesus steps in a place, every time time Jesus goes through a place, there is a purpose that's going on. Martha here, she wants to serve her guests. And this is notable. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, it confirms this. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain angel or entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. I love that scripture again. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So she is following along with the scriptures. And I find this interesting that she actually, her and her sister, get to the point of being able to not just entertain an angel, but they get to entertain the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that connection. The question is, what could be distracting Mary and Martha even in this situation? This is a good thing. And I found out in life that oftentimes the enemy can attack the good things in our lives. I put for a question, though, since we said that welcoming is good, hospitality is good. What is distracting you from welcoming people into your home? Yeah, what's distracting me, this whole process? Now, I know some of you are like, COVID-19. Yes, it has really hit our relationships and divided families on masks and vaccinations and all of these things. But the question is, even before COVID-19, what was inhibiting you from welcoming people in? I'm talking about as we're looking at protecting our priorities. Now, this is important to note. We use so many excuses within our lives. I remember as a young child growing up in the church that we would go over people's houses, and it was a part of hospitality that when you went there, they would always wanted to make sure that you took something with you. Whether we were over there for dinner or we just stopped by for a visit, they always wanted to give you something. This is the spirit of Martha and Mary welcoming Christ into their home and this guest, the disciples that are around them. They want to make them feel comfortable. They're caught up in the moment. We have those that are around us so many times that we have actually missed out on our purpose of entertaining and loving on people. I'm going to bring this out, and some of you may have this. I'm not picking on you. I'm not talking about anybody, but you ever been in somebody's house? They have a formal living room that has plastic on the furniture. There ought to be some hallelujahs out there. Yeah, well, I remember going into those formal living rooms as a young child, and I would look around, and I got the feeling that, you know what, don't sit here too long. This is not a comfortable place. This is just a place where you can look at. But I am so happy that as Martha and Mary are welcoming Jesus into their home, Mary, we're going to find out her personality, but Martha is trying to get everything in place. She wants to make sure that all things are in priority, at least within her mind. And so many times we have to test ourselves and ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? Let me give you a quote, a thought the Lord just put on my heart. He says, we can work and serve so much that we can miss out on relationship. I want to read that again. We can work and serve so much that we can miss out on relationship. This meeting with Mary and Martha is supposed to be a time of joyousness, a time of closeness, a time of revelation, but we're going to find out one of the sisters, Martha here, is caught up. She's serving and she's working and she's missing out on the priority that she should be focused in on. They actually needed this encounter to build within their lives, because in John chapter 11, it said before, they're going to experience the death of their brother, that he's going to be dead 4 days, and they're going to need to fall back on this encounter with Christ. Look at Luke 10:39, protecting your priorities. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I've already introduced Mary as they're both within this house, but now we're kind of coming in on the personality. Here's another point, taking time for Jesus. Yes, taking time for Jesus. So we've got Martha. She's working. She's caught up. She's trying to get everything in place, trying to make him feel comfortable. And I believe that Mary is with her in a sense, but Mary takes a pit stop. Mary sits down, and notice within this scripture, she sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word, taking time for Jesus. This is a contrast as we think about this, because as Martha is doing all of her things, Mary makes a conscious decision to make Christ her priority. How much time, as we're talking about Mary sitting at Christ's feet, do you spend in God's word, sitting at his feet? Yes, compared to other readings, compared to social media, compared to internet things or movies. Have you noticed many movies now are going upwards of 3 hours, and we can sit and we can look. We can binge on our favorite sitcoms on Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and other platforms that take so much time. But how many much of our time has been in distraction? Could that be the enemy trying to pull us away from that which brings life within us, that which makes us more like Christ? We need to come to the point of protecting ourselves more and more. I want to just give you some quotes from some notable people to encourage us to protect our time in the Word, our priorities with the Lord. This first quote, it says, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Theodore Roosevelt said that. Yes, and I look at my adultlings and that have gone through college and that are going through college, and I see all the time that they spent studying to make great exams are now for many of them, and they're spending hours upon hours, and my concern is so many times that we can allow those things to take over our priorities, and when it comes to sitting at Jesus' feet, we miss out on it. Here's another quote by Billy Graham. If you are ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. Wow, isn't that heavy? Again, if you are ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. And so in this process, we've got to know God's word. Here's another quote. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Charles Spurgeon said that a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And that's the key, man. I do so many counseling sessions and talking to people. And when people are going through in their lives, oftentimes, I tell you, majority of times, it's because that they are not in the Word. We're all going to go through situations, but when we find ourselves falling apart, we need the Word more. We need to be at Jesus' feet more. We need to be in prayer and worship and praise unto Him. Here's another quote by Martin Luther. The Bible is the cradle wherein Christ is laid. Yeah, as we're in this holiday season and people are shopping and they're trying to get this and they're trying to get that, I want you to know that the Bible is the cradle wherein Christ is laid. He is our central point, and we need to focus. We need to protect our priorities. Finally, I love this one. This is by an unknown author. It says, the Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. Somebody need to, hallelujah, write in the chat. You need to say, yes, yes, Lord, speak to me. The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. It is sad that oftentimes in our lives that we just kind of use the Bible as just some kind of a delicate thing that we use on Sunday, or we open up when we have a specific situation that we just want one scripture. But God is saying, I want you to take the totality of my word, and I want you to walk with me, because in it we find life. We find Jesus. Remember Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. This is so important. Hebrews 4:12 gives us the understanding. It says, God was manifested in the flesh. In the beginning, he was the Word, and the Word was with God. That is Christ. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man, if we don't get in the Word, if we don't sit at Jesus' feet, that Word is what discerns, helps us to see who we really are, and to let us know that we have a need of a Savior. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I'm talking about protecting your priorities. We have to come to the point of our lives to realize we've got to sit at Jesus' feet often and say, God, I need you. Anybody out there say, I need you. Oh, I need you. Look at Luke 10:40. But Martha, somebody say, but Martha. Yes, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Wow, it's a lot within that scripture. Here's a point out of that. Distracted. Yes, distracted. When I started out that scripture, I said, but Martha, we can all put our names there, but Howard, but such and such, because we have all found ourselves in this situation. Some of us may be going through it right now, just distracted. Now, notice, I want to break this scripture down and look at the portions of it. The first part that we find out with the personality and how the enemy can come in with distraction, fear, and that Luke 10:4, the first part is, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Yeah, she was just caught up. And remember that quote I gave earlier, sometimes we can just get caught up in serving and miss out on our priority of Christ. Mary is chosen to be at Jesus' feet, but Martha is just caught up in this cloud of distractions and even fears. I can see her, you know, wondering, is the gravy going to be right? Wondering if the pintos are boiling properly? Wondering if the cornbread is going to come together? Wanting to make sure all the plates are right and the forks are matching, all of this stuff, and she's encumbered. She's actually striving to do something good, but she's missing out on the priority. Notice the second part. When we get caught up in distractions and fears, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now, this is important. When we get caught up and the enemy attacks us like this, now we can think that Jesus doesn't care. That's what she's saying. She's insinuating, Jesus, you don't even care. I've heard about the miracles, signs, and wonders. I've been around when things have happened. Now you're in here. I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to do this all by myself. Don't you even care? Have we ever found ourselves in that situation where distractions and fears come in and we go, God, don't you care that I'm struggling? Don't you care that I'm going through this on my job? Don't you care that these relationships are falling apart? Don't you care about my family? We can do this all because we're caught up in the distractions and fears, but we've got to protect our priorities. But look at this next part. This is important. She even takes it to this level. She says, therefore, tell her to help me. Yeah. Martha speaks to Jesus and gives Jesus a command. Like he wasn't the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She says, Jesus, you need to tell my sister to help me. How many times have we commanded God, told him what he needs to do when he is everything? He's the creator of the universe, the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. It's not about our will, but it's about God's will. Just type God's will. It's about God's will. It's about doing what God wants, not about our comfort or our situation. But because she's so caught up in distractions and fears, she commands God, tell my sister to help me. Look at Luke 10:41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. I want to read that again because I love how Dr. Luke, he pulls up and he really gets the picture. Jesus speaks, man. He's been commanded by this lady and really she come up against the, hey, you got to fix this, Jesus. Jesus is just there, and I can see the disciples around. They're like, what is he going to do? And I can see Martha. I can see the wrinkles coming in her face, and she is upset right there in front of the Messiah. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're troubled about many things. Here's a point. Please get this one. Two sisters, worry and trouble. Yes, two sisters, worry and trouble. Now we're going to really dig deep in this because with our distractions and fear, this is one of the big things that happens when we get sidetracked, when we start listening to the voice of the enemy. We find ourselves in worry. We find ourselves in trouble. And generally, they always come together. Two sisters, worry and trouble. Look close to this Luke 10:41. This first part, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you're troubled. First of all, we find out that he calls her name two times. Martha, it means calm down, calm down. I could see her blood pressure going up and of the lighter persuasion, redness coming in her face because she is frustrated with Mary at this point. She feels that she's doing the right thing and she needs assistance to do that. But notice at this part, he says, Martha, 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 you're troubled and you're worried about many things. Now, I want to bring this. I've gone through the scripture so many times. And Jesus, of course, he's talking about her getting her hospitality together and all that. She's worried and troubled about many things. But I believe also that Martha was bringing other things to the table. Oftentimes, what we're going through in life outside our job or inside our job, dealing with other people, it can build up in other situations. There ought to be some amen. Let me try to say that in another way. There may be times in your life, and I know there have been times in my life, that you may be talking to someone and all of a sudden they say something that triggers you and you find yourself getting upset with this person. And later on, when you look back, you realize it really wasn't about them, but it goes back to something that happened early that morning or midday or happened with someone else. And you had encapsulated within your spirit and now it came up at an inopportune time. There ought to be some hallelujah. I'm talking about protecting your priorities. Martha, Martha, you're troubled and you're worried about many things. These things have built up, but I've come to your house not just to eat your food and your pinto beans and your cornbread. I've come to your house to give you revelation, to give you peace, to give you deliverance. There ought to be some shouts of praise out there. I'm telling you, our relationship, our priority with Christ is everything, because that's how we're set free. That's how we can make it through the storm. That's how we can pray and we can make sure that we're in the spirit, because we're in the presence of God. Matthew 6:25 really brings out what our priority should be about. Jesus taught this: therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Yes. Look at this, Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I'm talking about protecting your priorities. I was looking at birds the other day, and as they were flying around and going, I was like, you know what? Even though the leaves have come off the tree, God is still providing for them. God is still protecting them. God is still loving them. If he'll do that for them, won't he do that for us? I'm talking about protecting your priorities. Matthew 6:27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Yes, many of us have been caught up in this cycle of worry and pain and troubled and encumbered because we were caught up in distractions and fears. Matthew 6:28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, protecting your priorities. I was out shopping with my wife the other day, and man, we went to this section. We were looking for a particular thing, and all of a sudden, when we got there, some other people saw it too, and they began to run to it. And I'm telling you, they went through them clothes and everything. And Bianca and I, we just stepped back. We just went somewhere else. We're like, if you want it that bad, you can have it. So many people are just caught up in clothing, caught up in all these other stuff, worried and stressed out. But we got to protect our priorities. Jesus goes on to Matthew 6:31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentile seeks, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Isn't this Martha? Isn't this what she's going through? She's worried about the food. She's worried about all the things that are together. But Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I'm talking about protecting our priorities. Then he brings it home in that 34th verse. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Protecting your priorities. I'm talking about two sisters, worry and trouble. How many of us are caught up in this cloud? The enemy is just coming and punching at us. But we've got to understand that when we get in the presence of God, when we sit at his feet, that's when peace like a river comes over our soul and we can trust the Lord in every situation. Let me get this final verse in this section, Luke 10:42. Jesus says this, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Final point. One thing. Yeah. One thing. Jesus, I came into your house and man, it was great. Everything was in place. Everything was clean. Food has been laid out. But Martha, you're troubled. You're worried and you're troubled. You're just caught up. But I want you to know in all of this, there's only one thing that you should be focused on right now. Your sister's got it. I know you upset and I know you want me to do something, but she's doing exactly what she needs to do. If he could have just laid it out and said, you know what? Soon your brother's going to die. Lazarus going to die. We're going to get close. We're going to be a family and you're going to be depending on me to get there on time. But I'm not going to show up. I'm going to show up 4 days later after he's dead. And you got to know something. You got to choose. You got to make sure you got the one thing, and the one thing is me. Are there any hallelujahs out there? We've got to make sure that Jesus is everything in our lives, not just talking about it, not just showing up on one day of a week, but we've got to decide that Christ, I'm going to walk with you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm not going to wait till Sunday to give you praise, but I'm going to praise you throughout the week. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to pray because I understand I got to protect my priorities. The enemy is trying to pull us away from that which is so important. Ed Henson, he writes this thought. He says, our Lord prizes our affection above our service. Service may be tainted with pride and self-importance, occupation with himself, and one thing needful, that good part which will not be taken away. This is important. Again, occupation with himself is the one thing needful, that good part which will not be taken away. We've got to focus on that one thing. Please hear me today as we think about what Christ has already done for us. He's already gone to the cross of Calvary, taking nails in his hand and carrying our sins. That's the one thing that we've got to focus on. Jesus Christ, who died on that cross of Calvary, was put in a cold grave, but he got up with all power and all glory. And because he got up for us, we can trust him. There ought to be some shouts of thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust him in every situation. I don't care where you find yourself at. I don't care if you're struggling with pain in your body. I don't care if a broken relationship has happened or you've been laid off from your job. Whatever you're going through right now, if you just lay at Jesus' feet, you get at his feet and get in his word and begin to praise him and lift him up. I'm telling you, he will do something that you never thought he could do. Why? He will come in and he will grab you and he will love you. That's why he's on the right hand of the Father interceding for the saints right now, because when the enemy thought that he had us, when the enemy thought that he could take us out, all of a sudden the Lord raised up a standard. That's what protecting our priorities are all about. And then we can come to the point, even in the midst of our storm, and say, Lord, when I think about the goodness of you and all that you are doing for me, my soul shouts out hallelujah. Are there any praises out there to know that God is faithful? And I dare you right now in your living rooms, I dare you right now, even as you're driving your cars, you might need to pull over. I dare you to do a praise break and say, God, I'm going to protect my priorities because you are everything. Saints, he is everything in this fast-paced society of so much that's going on. We've got to protect our priority. And that one thing, it is Jesus the Christ. So often I'm talking to my wife and we're just going back and forth. I said, you know, there's so much going on. Then I say, but so much of nothing. And that's what it is. And so much of my, when we think about it, there is so much going on, so many distractions and fear. But when we really examine, go like, what? How important is it?
Yeah, it's swarming around. It's like those gnats sometimes in the summertime that they'll come in swarms and they'll just be going around and they'll just irritating you. But when it all comes to it, it's not really going to stop you. It's not going to stop you from walking. It's not going to stop you. Some of you, if you're outside eating, you're going to sway and you're going to eat and you're going to keep on. But they're just a distraction. Saints, we're in this season. I believe that we're getting closer than ever for Christ's return. The enemy's going to do all he can do to get us off track. But let's protect our priorities. I want to speak into your life because some of you, man, you used to be in the Word a whole bunch. You used to be able to worship a whole bunch and to praise God a whole bunch. But as you look at your life, some of you have swayed. You found yourself in another place, a place of darkness, a place where you're falling apart. Well, let today be a day that you be reinvigorated, a revival. Yes, a revival. You once were alive, but now you find yourself dying and you need to be revived. Decide today, I'm going to spend more time in the Word of God. I'm going to choose to be at Jesus' feet. I'm not going to be caught up in just serving and working and working and miss out on the one thing, the priority, who is Jesus the Christ. I speak to you today. I encourage you, make that change to make him number one. If you don't know Christ, as your first step, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It says you will be saved. Oh, you can trust him. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. I encourage you to receive that gift today. Oh, he is so faithful. Let's protect our priorities. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, God, for using Martha and Mary in this situation, helping us to see the personalities and helping us to see how the enemy can come in with distractions and fears. Help us to combat, Lord, the worry and trouble that's in all of our lives, Lord, that we can lift up you and make you number one as we sit at your feet. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. walking now across the river from which my fate shall inside. There's just a few more days to labor, and then I'll take my heavenly flight to a land I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. And there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. Beulah.